Okay, welcome to the Proposals Conference for the Instrument Upgrades Request for Proposals 2017 call. My name is Ruben Diaz. I am instrument program scientist at Gemini. And I will host this conference for everyone. So the Request for Proposals is a competitive process. So we look forward to make the same information available to every participant and everyone in the community. Therefore, we will take a recording on the session, especially to capture the questions, document the answers. We plan to post all the questions and answers in our website. And we will also take the chance to host the details for any team looking for partners. So after this meeting, you can continue to send any questions or comments you have to the RFP address. So the general aim of the Instrument Upgrades program is to keep our facility instruments operational and scientifically competitive by creating new capabilities on these instruments, especially based in ideas from the community. So we are looking forward to fund community-created science-driven instrument upgrade proposals. The aim of this conference, the general aim is, of course, to engage all of you in the request for proposals process and engage you in the instrumentation program. And the specific aims are to communicate and clarify any aspects of the request for proposals, to place all the information into context and answer your questions. The structure of this meeting will be, we will have the introduction, then we are going to cover some key topics. We are going to give more details about the evaluation. And then Karen and Kathy will take over to tell you some details about how to submit a proposal. And then we are going to the most important part, which is the questions and answers section. Let me introduce the Instrument Upgrades team at Gemini. We have Scott Clayman, who is the Associate Director of Development, Karen Gottsick, who is ORA's Contract Officer, Kathy Blog, who is our Product Specialist, myself. We have Paul Hurst, who is the Head of Technology Development. He's, you can see Paul in the Gemini North connection there. He's waving. Marie Lemon-Busserol, who is supporting us as project scientist. She's also a NIFS instrument scientist and also part of the ALTER team. And John Bassett, who is one of our project system engineers. I will now ask all of you to say your name, the institution, and what would you like to get from today's conference? You don't need to give us details on what are you going to propose, but for example, if you are looking for partners, it is worth to mention that. Yeah. So please, let's start with Texas A&M.
I'm Luke Schmidt, here at Texas A&M. And I guess I'm just looking for sort of general information. I'm Darren DePoy, also from Texas A&M. As with Luke, we're just looking for additional information about the program.
Right, please.
So Rich Arthels from Center of Advanced Instrumentation in Durham. I guess I'm more interested in some more specific technical questions about the 4RG and also actually a little bit more about the near infrared wavefront sensor for that was one of the on-instrument wavefront sensor for GNES that was one of the suggested topics.
Mm-hmm. Look. Look, Simard, I think you are muted.
No, it's okay. My name is Luc Simard. I'm from NRC Canada. I'm interested in a wide range of things, but in particular, the link between, it's clear that the science will drive a lot of these choices. You've put a lot of weight on those scientific drivers. But I would like to hear a bit more about the wider observatory scientific interests, for example, from the stack, what kind of upgrades the stack itself as in mind.
Okay. Hui.
Hi, my name is Hui Han Kim. I'm an assistant scientist at Gemini South. I work with one of the future visiting instruments to Gemini South at CASI and UT Austin. So they are interested in this conference, but they couldn't make it. So I'm just pass the information to them for the future opportunity for the visiting instrument team as well.
Dennis, please.
Hi, Dennis Bodovitz, University of Maryland in College Park. I'm just here to get a general idea of what's new this year and what came of the last year's instrument upgrade proposal and what Gemini is looking for.
Thank you. Darren Erickson.
Yeah, hi, I'm with NRC Canada, and I'm just looking for general information and sort of background on the proposal process.
And we have also Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm also from NRC, same as Darren said, I'm looking for some general information and finding out what Gemini is looking for in the next round.
Okay, thank you. So let me recap what were the results from the previous request for proposals. From the 2015 request for proposals, we funded a small project proposed by Casey Popovich and his team from Texas A&M, involving also astronomers from Toronto, Swinburne, Leiden, and Macquarie universities. The proposal was to upgrade F2 by designing two special medium band filters for splitting the K band. And the science case was based in high redshift demography and some synergies with some current and forthcoming surveys. And in addition to funding the design, the procurement, and all the work related to the filters, Gemini also awarded this team 10 hours of telescope time to demonstrate the scientific benefits of the new capability. The filters were already installed. The acceptance test has been executed. The acceptance test report is about to be presented. And we hope to be offering this new capability to our user community in the last quarter of 2017. And from the 2016 request for proposals, there were two projects selected. One was the RAMSES project, which was awarded to Professor Denis Gonçalves and a large team involving astronomers from Brazil, Chile, Korea, Argentina, and the USA. And this project proposed a new technique to discover symbiotic stars in the local group of galaxies, and plans to install two sets of narrowband filters in GMOS South and GMOS North. They were also awarded with 10 hours of telescope time, and the filters will be commissioned by the end of 2017, and we plan to offer this new capability to our users in the second quarter of 2018. Yeah. There was another project, a slightly larger project, that was awarded from the 2016 request for proposals and is currently under a contract negotiation. So let's go to the 2017 call key topics. First of all, just to remind you that you have the set of documents available in the web page. There are five documents. One is the main document describing all the details of the request for proposals, including the requirements and the evaluation criteria. There is a proposal form that has to be completed, a sample contract, and a couple of documents to aid you in prepare the budget narrative form and a budget worksheet template. Yeah. There are many documents on the instrument interface documents and specifications. We have our web pages, some technical fact sheets, and we are also available to any request of particular information that you may have. So you just have to send your request to the RFP address. So the scope of this call for proposals is, again, and as already mentioned, to design, fabricate, assemble, test, deliver, and commission upgrades to any of the facility instruments. And this time we're also including GRACES. And in this call, in particular, we are offering an H4RG detector and its controller package for any upgrade for a facility instrument that proposes to use this detector. The schedule, the most important thing on the schedule is that the proposals are due by October 5, and we expect that the awarded work start by April 2018 and to be completed within 12 to 24 months, depending on the complexity of the work package. Yeah. Regarding the budget, the maximum available budget is $600,000. Our baseline plan is to fund one medium project of about $500,000 and a small project of about $100,000, but we welcome any proposal for any amount between zero and the total budget. The cost, Gemini will provide the H4RG detector and the controller package at its own cost. Yeah. And the request for proposals is open to all institutions or companies from Gemini partner nations, and also to any non-partner country PIs who have a significant or relevant experience with our instruments. The instrument upgrade project contract can be awarded to profit or non-profit organizations or companies. And we encourage collaborations, and we have opened the forum for those people seeking for additional partners. So please drop us a note if you want to be added in that page. Regarding the telescope time, the proposed team can request up to 10 hours of on-sky telescope time to demonstrate the scientific capability of the upgrade, describing how the time will be used to achieve this goal. And this request has to be written in the form of a telescope proposal, and it has to be included within the instrument upgrade proposal. So the due time for this telescope time section is also October 5. Do you have any questions about the scope, the schedule, budget, anything regarding the topics we have covered until now?
So the Hawaii 4RG detector? Sorry. Someone
yes. Go ahead, please.
So Dennis, or it's so what you just said about this proposal time, do you want proposals to use your templates to write a proposal and include that as a separate document in your in their proposal, or how do you imagine this?
No, it's just a section in the instrument upgrade proposal.
So it does not to be the telescope proposal. It's just a section.
It's a section that justifies how you will use your 10 hours of telescope time.
Okay, that is something different than a telescope proposal.
Yes. You don't need to go into the deep technical details, but of course, as much information as you use will be part of the general evaluation, because we aim these proposals to be science driven. So the strongest your science case, the strongest the possibilities that your proposal has.
That is, again, something different than what you just said.
Yeah.
In your presentation, you said that how your observing time would be used to test and demonstrate the capability of your instrument, not to maximize the science that you got out of there. These are different things.
Yes, I understand.
I'm sorry.
I understand what you say. Yes, it would be good. It is good that the section about the 10 hours of telescope time explain how the time will be used to demonstrate the scientific capability. Yeah.
So they're not science-driven. The whole proposal is science-driven, but your observations do not need to be science-driven.
If you want to receive 10 hours of telescope time, you have to have a strong science case for using these 10 hours. It's not just the instrument upgrade.
So 10 hours is up to...
All right.
It's up to 10 hours, yeah.
I have a question about the...
If you do not justify well the 10 hours that will be used, then you might not receive the total amount of 10 hours.
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I have a question about the Hawaii 4RG detector. Mm-hmm. Is there a 10 micron format or 50 micron?
It's a 50 micron format detector.
And do you have, in the website it says there you have some bad pixels?
Yes, it's it is the usable area of the detectors for which we have access is about 3600 pixels on a side. So most of the corners and some borders of these detectors have high dark current values. So this means they have more than 0.1 electron per pixel. Per second per pixel. Yeah. So any upgrade that is proposed has to have in consideration that the corners of the detectors may not be useful.
Thank you.
Any other question, especially about the detectors?
I wasn't sure whether this was the right time or in the Q&A, but when you say that Gemini will provide the controller, is that the full data handling stream? So essentially to use this detector, we need to provide a cryostat and potentially any filters that are needed?
Yes.
But all of the rest of the software is provided by Gemini?
Yes. All the detector controller and its software, the full package, will be provided by Gemini.
Okay.
Paul, do you want to add something about that?
Yeah, I can say a little bit. It's a little early days with these detectors for us. We don't actually have the detectors in-house there at IFA right now, so we don't have the exact characteristics of the detectors. There are actually a couple of detectors that we get to choose from, but we believe the characteristics are broadly similar, but we don't have the full details at this point. With regards to the controller, as may be apparent, we currently have a large diversity in different detector controllers that we have to maintain and troubleshoot, and we're trying to reduce that diversity, and thus it seemed to make sense for us to provide a controller with the detector that could have things in common with existing instruments and stuff. But again, we haven't finalized that design at this point.
Do we know anything about the optimum temperature for controlling persistence and things for these detectors?
No, we don't have any information on that at this time, that I'm aware of at least.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's continue. So regarding the evaluation and selection, we expect the participants to send a notice of intent. This notice of intent should have a synopsis of the proposed project, an abstract of 500 words or less, a list of the proposed key personnel, including the PIs, the project manager, and all senior personnel that will be involved in the project, and any team member organizations and potential subcontractors or collaborators and partner institutions. We will use these notices of intent to ensure that our reviewers have the appropriate expertise, and of course that they are not conflicted. So the notice of intents are important for us. And the evaluation panel will be selected by Gemini. They will be non-conflicted experts. We will include one or two members from the Science and Technology Advisory Committee and a set of experts that will be selected depending on the kind of projects that have been sent. And the evaluation criteria are detailed in the pages 6 and 7 of the main document. The largest weight goes into the scientific justification and the science requirements, then follow the technical requirements and the project management, system engineering, and team experience. Regarding the selection, we will make a best value selection after considering the evaluation panel report, the price analysis and cost analysis, and our ability to support the work and any other information in the proposals themselves that we consider relevant for the final selection. And once the team is selected, we will enter a contract negotiation period, and if all differences can be resolved, the agreement will be sent for approval to our governance committees and organisms. So usually the contract negotiation and the approval takes a little while because of the complex governing system of Gemini. And therefore, other proposers will not be notified of the results of the evaluation until and selection until all the relevant contracts have been fully signed. Do you have any question about the evaluation and selection?
Well, this is Luke Samar, NRC. I just have a question about, you know, in terms of the science, it looks like you're leaving it to the proposers to come up with interesting science cases to drive mm-hmm. the upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
But has there been an internal discussion within the observatory and its broader community to determine an initial list of priorities, or you're trying to just really leave it open and see what happens?
We, as in the previous occasions, we are trying to be as responsible and responsive as possible with our community science desires, so scientific desires. So we are not putting emphasis in any special science case at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if we have no more questions, now we go to Tucson. Karen will tell us about how to submit the proposal.
Good morning, afternoon, whatever time of day it is in your part of the world. I am Karen Godzik. I am the contracts officer for AURA, and I'm not a scientist, nor do I play one on TV. I am an attorney. Don't hate me yet. So my whole function is to oversee the procurement process and to be the gatekeeper for any information. So from this point on, there's to be no communication with anybody on the team other than through the email. And that will be addressed by me. If there are technical questions, I will obtain the answers and get them back to you. But there will be no direct communication with any of the scientists or any of the other players on our internal team. It's critical that we maintain that a Chinese wall, shall we say, and that I am the gatekeeper of all information. Couple of points before we get into actually.
Sorry, can I just make it clear to get a clarification that the email that you're referring to is rfpiup@gemini.edu. Is that the address?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, Ruben, you can go on to the next slide. Let me see. The proposal form is provided to you in a Word document rather than PDF, so you can just fill in the information, but then you can transfer it to memorialize it in the PDF when you submit the proposal. One thing I do want to point out, and some people tend to forget, from the point of contact, please, please, please provide an email address. I don't know if there's an actual line for email address, but in this world, the cyber world, we do tend to communicate extensively through email, and it's difficult for me if I don't have an address to communicate with the proposer with. It is important that all the information is filled out. Don't try to just pick and choose what you think is important. It must be filled out. There's reasons for everything that we ask for. As you can see, there's several sections that have been highlighted, and these are critically important. If you answer to anything in section two with a yes, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't propose or that you're automatically excluded. It means I need to look into it. It may or may not be a barrier, but if you don't tell me about it and there's something that comes up later, then we have a major problem. And as my kids say, you don't want to get mama mad. So be sure you answer these completely and honestly. And if you have information to provide, again, it's Word documents, you can fill in information. We do our own independent analysis and research and evaluation on the people submitting, but it's helpful if you let us know what's going on in advance.
Could I ask a question, please?
Sure.
Yeah, I represent Texas A&M University. It's a $3 billion per year organization. Yeah. I have absolutely no way of understanding how to answer these questions for the entire university. So do you want me to answer for myself, personally, or in some other manner?
Ask sponsored projects. They're familiar with these questions, and they're used to responding to them. They would know.
So I should get the answers from my sponsored research services organization and trust that they're correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
And frankly, I've only had this situation come up once. The party did let us know that there was an issue that had been that was pending. And I was able to do my due diligence in advance, and later on in the process, it came home to roost. But because the provider had been so upfront and gave me the opportunity to investigate in advance, we were able to resolve the issues. So that's, if it has to be an issue, I'd rather know upfront. I can't deal with what I don't know about. And please note that there is a partner names box, so if you have partners, be sure you include them also, because we will do screens on all on everybody. I'll keep going. Next one. Okay, before we get to the milestones, I do want to mention a couple of other things. I noticed there were already some questions about the detector. Send those to me or through the RFP email, and that'll come to me. I'll get the answers again and get back to you. And the RFP references a proposed schedule of when contract negotiations will start and when we're likely to finish. You need to just be aware that depending on the cost of the project, that could adjust the schedule, because we get our funding through the NSF, National Science Foundation. Anything over $250,000 must be approved by them. So if you're proposing a project that is $250,000 or more dollars, you need to add a minimum of 6 weeks to the process. So just a heads up. We do need your total proposal price, and that will be in the proposal document itself. We've listed proposed milestones. You are free to propose additional ones. And you need to be aware that a milestone can't be, you know, we're month one of a 12-month project. We're entitled, we want 12% of the cost. It doesn't work that way. The proposals must be specific, measurable events, and the cost that you assessed against it must be realistic, you know, compared to the work or the cost involved in that step. So, you know, progress payments aren't likely to be approved, but things like, oh, we had to order parts, we need X amount up front. Okay, that's reasonable. When you receive the parts, you require the remainder, that's certainly reasonable. A kickoff cost, a reasonable kickoff cost, you know, that's reasonable. And there'll be steps along the way. There's phases you can do, you know, phase one will cost us this amount. You know. So just keep that in mind. It's not just a, you know, cut it in however many pieces and assign a percentage. It must be specific and measurable. And feel free to propose alternative or additional milestone payments. And this is something that we can negotiate, and we frequently spend a lot of time negotiating these. Again, be sure to answer all the questions in this section. We need to consider labor costs, equipment and supplies, contract services, and a budget summary. Okay, move on, please. Contract terms. As the scientific people, you probably have only a passing knowledge of the contract terms, the terms and conditions, and there may be things that sound okay to you, but your sponsor's project will have a picture of. We are not going to require you to get these objections up front. I strongly recommend you at least run by them and get their high-level objections up front. But at some point, before we can go any further, if we are to be we are going to need objections to these contract terms. And again, this is often a major negotiation issue in the contract. And the more advanced notice I have about what the objections are going to be, the easier it is for me and your sponsored projects people to prepare for them. Move on, please. Unless you have, if there are any questions along the way, please jump in. Ruben? Surety plan. This tends to frighten people. You don't need to be frightened. We don't require bonds. It's difficult to require bonds when you've got, you know, universities and nonprofits and things like that. We understand that. But we do need some form of surety to protect us. And basically the surety plan is you telling us how you're going to ensure performance of the job, not of the instrument. We understand this is research and we are never asking you to warranty that this is going to work. We know that this is research, but we want some way for you to assure us that the job will be performed. In some cases, that takes the form of a bond, not so much in these, but more in my construction contracts. In other cases, it takes the form of we hold back. We mutually agree to hold back a certain amount of money at the end, so make sure it gets done. The other one is payment of subcontractors. You may or not be aware of this, but if you don't pay, if the subcontractor does not receive payment, the subcontractor can then sue Aura for the funds. Even if we've paid the contractor, the subcontractor could still come after Aura. And we don't want that to happen, so some mechanism to ensure that will protect Aura against that. And your sponsored projects people will be better versed in ways of doing that. Okay, any questions on that one? It's nothing to be scary, and it is negotiable. Just, you can always, you know, come up with something that makes everybody comfortable. But we do want at least your initial thoughts on how you're going to reassure Aura. And I say Aura because I work for Aura. Gemini is the center of Aura. Aura controls all the money. Okay. Ruben? Okay, you have got to complete all parts of this section. You must include your DUNS number. I don't have it in front of me. I know we recently added a conflicts in the form. I think we put it in the representation of certifications. It is critical that you complete this section. Certify that there are no, as far as you're aware, there are no conflicts. You know who the team is, basically. You know who the PI is on this project. And you know who's going to be on our side, the tech rep on our side. You know who's going to be the PI on your side. And your major players, we need to know if there are any conflicts, perceived conflicts, or questions about conflicts. We need to know that as early as possible.
Sorry, Karen, can you remind me what DUNS is again?
You would ask me that. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's basically a universal number that our federal government issues to organizations. It's tied to Dunham and Webster.
But we wouldn't have them in the UK, then, would we?
Yeah. Well, you may not have it in the UK, but you can apply for a DUNS number through Dun & Bradstreet. You don't have to be a U.S. corporation to have a DUNS number.
Okay.
Everybody needs a DUNS number, except individuals. So your organization probably has one. If your organization has done any work for any government agencies, they've got one.
Okay.
Any other questions on that?
Okay, move forward, please. Don't forget, before we get to questions and answers, don't forget, we're also provided a budget spreadsheet and a narrative form. These track exactly the information that NSF requires that we use for our price and cost analysis. And it may seem maybe a little awkward in some places. It may ask for information that doesn't apply to your project, just put NA, but fill it out as best as possible, both the spreadsheet and the narrative, to give us a picture of the budget, which, you know, sometimes changes, sometimes doesn't, but the more information we have on the budget, the better off we are, the better able we are to evaluate it. Even though cost is not the primary issue, cost becomes an issue when it comes to doing a contract. Okay. Any questions about the proposal, submitting the proposal? Basically, just follow the form.
Yeah, I had one question, Karen, about the costing. It's just the nature of these proposals that it will almost always involve some Gemini technical staff doing something, whether it's taking the instrument off the telescope or pulling a camera out of an instrument. Now, I presume we don't cost that in the proposal, but do you need some kind of guidance on what level of kind of technical support from Gemini we're expecting, or will you make that assessment?
That's actually a good question for Ruben, and thank you for asking it, because my understanding is how much work you're going to need from Gemini people is one of the issues in the evaluation. Ruben, would you like to handle this question?
Yes. You should include with as much precision as you can in the stage in which you are just proposing how many resources are you going to require from Gemini, or especially if you are going to require any special set of tools or something like that.
So could you give us an idea? I mean, I was just thinking the example that you gave of the Flamingos 2 K-band filters last year. I presume that the proposers, you know, supplied the filters and maybe lab tested them, but the Gemini engineers installed them, did they? And then the team commissioned them on Sky? Or?
Yes, that was how we proceed. Gemini took care of the installation of the filters.
So from our perspective, we just need to say, we assume that Gemini, you know, will remove the instrument from the telescope if it's required,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
And we'll do this bit of work.
Of course, depending on the complexity of the task, the proposing team might be involved in the installation of the upgrade.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they'll be supporting, but I assume that you don't want them to do it all.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Dennis Bodis again. Not a question. I just wanted to, now this is Karen's turn, just wanted to thank you for moving this telecon away from the eclipse. that was very much appreciated.
Who's that for idea that was? You're welcome. I think it should, wasn't it? That was Kathy's idea. I never even thought of it. As I said, I'm not a scientist.
Well, let me ask, this is Luke Samar from NRC, let me ask a variation of Ray's question. So the budget numbers that you're quoting are the cost are the cost of our efforts, and then there's a cost to Gemini, and it is, you know, based on the selection criteria that you presented, the cost to Gemini is going to be a factor in the selection of the proposals. So how do we know? So do we basically say, you guys an email saying, or whatever, a description of things that we expect from you, and that so that we get an idea of the cost to you?
You don't.
That will play against a proposal or not, yes?
you wouldn't exactly include a dollar and cents cost in the budget unless it's like a tool that, you expect Gemini to purchase. But if it's services that you expect Gemini to provide or that you anticipate Gemini is going to have to provide, that would actually go in the proposal itself. I believe there's actually a section of the proposal that says what services are going to be needed by what level of support will you need from Gemini. But if it's an out-of-pocket cost that Gemini is going to have to absorb, thank you, put that in the actual budget form, in the narrative form.
I understand. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Unless you, I'll turn it back to you, Ruben. I don't remember if you have anything after this.
No, we have nothing else. There is an appendix with additional information in the presentation, and we are grateful for your participation in this process, and we look forward to receiving your letters of intent. And do not hesitate to send any additional questions that you have.
So, Ruben, I didn't realize we'd moved on from proposal questions onto general questions. But
yeah.
I did have a question about this commissioning of the Gemini Near Infrared on instrument wavefront sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get my head around exactly what you're expecting. It sounds like all the hardware exists.
Yes. In both cases, for the NIRs and for NIFs, the hardware exists. But these on-instrument wavefront sensors were never fully commissioned. Yeah.
And is it a case of writing software, or is it just people turning up and, trying to get it working on Sky?
When the instruments were provided, they were provided with all the documentation and including the software. Yeah. But which is the present state of the software, and if it is if it is compatible with our present interfaces and so on, I'm not fully aware of that.
But is the danger that we'll turn it on and it won't work?
Sorry?
Ruben, you want me to comment on that?
I guess my question was, at the level of, is it possible that you could write a proposal to do this and then turn it on and find that, the detector died 15 years ago or whatever?
We can send you as much information as we have on the present state of the on-instrument wavefront sensor. Regarding NIFs, it was operated at some time, and maybe Marie can add more information.
Yes, actually I can comment on both, because I was part of the commissioning of the Genius, and I was the Genius human scientist for 2 years. So what's happened with Genius is that we tried to commission the OI, but we found that there was a flip. When we tried to do the factual model, there was a flip. We don't know exactly what it was inside or why that was flipping, but it was basically we needed more time, more investigation, and basically dismantle it completely to see what's going on inside. And we were really short by the time. That's what we gave up on that. So that's what happened with the OI. That's the state. And for NIFs, we have right now a faulty sensor. It's basically for one of the components, but it's actually the backup of the primary sensor, and in a weird state, and to replace it, we'll have to do quite some work on the lookup table and everything, and it was never really a priority right now. So that's what's going on with NIFs. But NIFs was working, was commissioned, it was working for a couple of years, and when we had that faulty sensor, we just didn't have the time and the resources to deal with it.
Thank you.
Any other question? Okay, then thank you everyone. And we look forward on hearing about you in the near future.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.